views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you want for yourself. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss, is a show for women in recovery who are ready to live life on purpose. Tune in and let Catherine help you live your truth one day at a time. Now here's your host, Catherine Moss.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Coming Clean Radio, The Art of Transparency. I'm your host, Catherine Arati Moss. Each week on Coming Clean, I invite a guest on the show to share their unique truth and their authentic message in coming clean and living on purpose, whatever that means to them. My hope is that this show and its message of transparency can inspire you to become more honest with yourself and allow you to start to live your truth, to start to live like more on purpose. If you like the show, please like the Coming Clean Radio Facebook page and sign up for my somewhat monthly newsletter at www.catherinemoss.com for any info on upcoming guests. I only send one email a month, so rest assured, you won't be having tons of emails crowding your inbox. Great. So without further ado, I would like to introduce you to my guest for today, Liv Pennell. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
It's Pennelly. It's
Pennelly.
Yeah, okay. It's slightly confusing, but yeah, it's Pennelly. Yeah.
Liv Pennelly. I like that.
Yeah.
So just to give a little, before we talk, just to give a little bit of background on Liv and read a bit of her bio here. So originally from the U.S., Liv came to the U.K. at a young age, having struggled with addiction early in life, initially with food and later drugs. Liv entered recovery in March 2012. And whilst 12-step fellowship forms the foundation of her recovery, Liv passionately believes in a fluid and holistic approach to it, dealing with a mind-body-spirit connection. So Liv started a blog in 2015, Liv's Locomotion, sharing her weight loss journey in recovery, and sought to highlight the parallels that run between food and addiction. Having lost nearly 50 pounds and the popularity of the blog, it was rebranded to Liv's Recovery Kitchen, where Liv continues to shape her niche with the nutrition and recovery fields. So welcome to the show, Liv.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and thank you.
My first interview. This is amazing.
This is your first interview?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I interview everybody else, but this is the first time someone has done it to me. So it's quite interesting.
That's great. Well, I wanted to thank you first before we get into it. Thank you for being so open with your story and the journey that you're on. I think it's something that a lot of women appreciate and a lot of people need. So
yeah,
thank you.
My pleasure.
So I want to hear, I'm really interested in hearing your personal story of recovery and weight loss, of course. However, I think I'd like to start out by talking about this concept that I just mentioned here of the mind-body-spirit connection.
Okay.
I think it's really interesting, you know, because we hear this a lot lately, and especially in the recovery community. And this is so powerful in like creating a solid basis of your recovery. But like, straight out, what does this mean for you? You talked about the fluid and holistic approach and this mind, body, spirit connection.
Well, I'll start off by telling you about my experience of that. My very first sponsor said to me, she said, I think it was about a week sober, and she said, Liv, you're so disconnected between here and here, pointing to my head and my heart. And I said to her, well, how on earth do I fix it? And really, the last 4 years has been a process of finding out what that is. And for me, it evolves. So, you know, it ranges from, you know, what's going on in my mind to really my instincts and connecting with my body, because I find that when I'm not connected, I can make some unhelpful choices. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. And I think that there's kind of also a disconnect in the world in general, too. I mean, that reminds me, I interviewed Veronica Valley. She was my first guest on the show, and I read her book, and she talked a lot about like a spiritual malaise that's in the world and a dis-ease when you're not kind of living your truth and who you really are, you need to find something. Like, if you're so disconnected, you need to find something. And that's kind of what they're talking about, really, when they're like, oh, well, you know, that's just a symptom of it, right?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. And what was amazing is you know, lifting the lid on that, because I remember when I first came into recovery, people would say to me, you know, oh, it's a fear-based disease. And, you know, they would say all of these different types of things to me. And to be honest, I was just convinced all I had was a drinking problem. But the more work that I did, the more I uncovered, and the more I uncover, the more I see how disconnected I have been from myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's totally my experience as well. Like right in the beginning, you're like, all I have is a drinking problem. I just drink too much and it's out of control. I don't know what you're talking about when you say that I have, that's just a symptom. Like, no, that's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fascinating journey, for sure.
So, in creating your blog, mm-hmm. you started it last year, right?
Yeah.
Liv's
yeah.
Recovery yeah. Kitchen, and it's gotten pretty popular.
Yeah, which I wasn't expecting, really.
Well, and you say that your goal was, like I just read before, your initial goal was to highlight like the comparison between food and addiction. So I'm kind of like, I'm really interested in that. I remember I heard of you from, you know, Laura from the Sobriety Collective. And she told me like, oh yeah, she talks a lot about, you know, like is really interested in addiction and food. And I thought that it would be great to have you on the show. So like my thinking is food always a thing? Like when there's addiction?
You know, for me, I think that's the case. And I think even if it hasn't been the case, it becomes the case for people in recovery. I can only speak from my own personal experience, which was that food came first. Food was the very first thing that I learned could change the way that I feel. And, you know, and that is the story of my addiction, is finding things to change the way that I felt. And, you know, the more people that I interview and talk to in recovery, the more particularly women uncover their very unhealthy relationship with food. And the difficulty in recovery is, you know, you can't, with alcohol and drugs, you can abstain from those. Whereas with food, it's something that you can't abstain from. You have to eat it. So, yeah, I think there is certainly a theme. And I would say, I don't know, the more people that I speak to, I would say it's an issue for at least about 70% of the people in recovery.
That's really interesting that you say that only when you go into recovery do you realize this like underlying issue. That was just like kind of underlying. That's, I have had the same experience. Now, only now in more than three years into recovery, I'm dealing with that. You know, like it's something that, yeah, you have to get the other things out of the way before you can work on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as some of the texts say, you know, it's a process of uncovering, isn't it? You know, and discarding mm-hmm. For us to get to our true authentic selves, you know, and in that process, we discover all of these different things that don't serve us.
So when did you first begin to struggle with and feel that disconnect, or, you know, struggle with food and addiction? When did that happen for you?
From a very young age. I had quite a challenging childhood. You know, my parents split up, so we moved from the US to the UK. You know, addiction runs in my family. And I felt, you know, very, as a child, I felt very alone and very, very much like, you know, I guess disconnected to, for want of a better word, from my reality. You know, I just felt that I was existing, and that carried all the way through to, you know, to my addiction. And so I would spend a lot of time on my own, and food, I discovered food as something that would change the way that I felt, and I could escape through it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, I've just started to undertake a nutrition course, and you know, and from all the reading that I've done, I see that there is actually a physiological response to the food that you eat. So it makes total sense that you, particularly around carbohydrates, you know, you eat these foods and it releases dopamine and various other, you know, feel good hormones, and you know, and in that kind of carb coma, you switch mm-hmm. off. And that's mm-hmm. what I've constantly been seeking, is switching off my reality, because it has been so unpleasant. My environment has been really unpleasant, and I didn't know how to connect with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like you said, we can't stop eating. So no. we have to find some way of nourishing ourselves, yet not divulging in these, you know, like addictive patterns with food.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, in many, I was thinking about this recently. I was sitting in a meeting and I was thinking, they were talking about step one, and you know, it was a day that I had found particularly difficult around food. You know, I struggle, especially with my hormones. You know, my hormones really precipitate, you know, certain cravings for foods. And I was thinking to myself, you know, how did I stop using, you know, because it's been 4 years now. And, you know, I know, obviously I went to a meeting and I stopped, but I was thinking, how can I apply this to food? And, you know, it's an evolving process. And because you can't abstain completely, it becomes a process of learning what works and what doesn't work. And I was explaining to a friend the other day, you know, that I have, and I think many addicts or alcoholics have this feeling of catastrophizing everything, you know, and I will say, oh, I'm such a failure if I have 5 pieces of bread. And actually, you know, when I look back over the last year, the trend is growth. It's just that growth isn't linear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's like this, you had an image on your website where it showed recovery and then, a straight line, and then like, no, it was like recovery or reality. It was just like a squiggly, like all over the place line. Yeah. We think that we're going to be like, okay, we're starting here. We're going to go to recovery. We're going to get better, but it's just not like that.
No, and I wish it was. But I'm slowly starting to realize that it is never going to be that way. And, you know, in the same way that we sought to fix our feelings with drugs, you know, I think I've been quite naive in my expectation of recovery, that it would, you know, I would be better and I would fix myself. But it's never going to be that way. It's going to be a constantly evolving process.
Right. No, I totally understand that. We're going to take a small break. So you're listening to Coming Clean with myself, Catherine R.T. Moss. We're going to take a quick break and stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you want to achieve your goals? Do you want to strengthen relationships with others? Do you want to improve your financial status? Colette Marie Steffen is partnering with Mark Kettenbach to bring you an energetic upgrade online experience launching in April. Unfold and develop your full potential. Visit energeticupgrade.com today for more information. That's energeticupgrade.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you want for yourself. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss is a hit show for women in recovery who are ready to live life on purpose. Tune in and let Catherine help you live your truth one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Shine On Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Light, from author and healer Francine Vale, is available now. Through Francine's life story, we learn how imperative it is to love one another. Once this simple truth is learned, peace on earth will prevail. Song of the Heart is a life lived and a story told for this purpose. To learn more about Francine and her amazing gifts, or to order your copy of the book today, visit angelsandlightbeings.com.
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific, and for a special broadcast the second Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We're back on Coming Clean Radio with me, your host, Catherine Artimas. My host today is Liv Pennelly, founder of Liv's Recovery Kitchen, who is talking with us today about food, addiction, and recovery. So you can visit her site, livsrecoverykitchen.com. And are you on social media, Twitter, Facebook, that kind of thing as well?
Yeah, all Liv's Recovery Kitchen. I think Twitter is @livsrecoverykit.
At Liv's Recovery Kit.
Yeah. It's kind of got a ring to it, that, hasn't it?
Liv's Recovery Kit. I like that. Yeah. You might want to think about changing the website. No, I'm kidding.
Do you know, when I did that earlier this year, it was a real pain to have to change everything else. But,
I like Liv's Locomotion, but I also love the recovery kitchen idea of it.
You see, I loved it. I loved Liv's Locomotion. But somebody said to me, you know, when I think of locomotion, I think of Kylie and trains. And I thought, that wasn't what I was going for.
Well, with locomotion, it's like you, when we're addicted, we're we're not moving, right? I mean, you're not exactly, like, making any progress, right? And then you're like moving and you're going.
Exactly. That's someone else that gets it. Great.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, me too. I guess the kitchen theme kind of pulled everything together, really, because the blog has now got three themes, you know, the interviews and the recipes and then my blog. And, you know, I think that, it's kind of grounded by this concept of coming to talk in a kitchen environment where you eat and you it's part of, it's the heart of the home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where everyone wants to be at parties, right? Everyone's just congregating in the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So let's talk about recovery strategies.
Okay.
When people, when people decide on their own terms that they want to go into recovery, that's something that they want to do, there are a lot of options out there. Sometimes people don't think that there are, but there are. There are a lot of options for recovery, and each person needs mm-hmm. to figure out what the best recovery formula is for them.
Yeah.
So you went into recovery in 2012. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so what worked for you in particular? What was something that, what were the things that really, really helped?
I think the very first thing that helped was going to a meeting. You know, a close family member goes to AA. So I knew from seeing that person evolve over the past 10 years that that was a process that worked. So I had tried everything else. So that was kind of my last option. And I, at that time, wasn't aware of any other options. So I tried that. And then, you know, I say to many people, I kind of came in at the level of surrender. You know, I knew that I had a problem. I knew that I couldn't fix that problem. I knew that I was completely insane, and I knew that I needed someone else's help and I couldn't do it on my own. So I jumped straight in. So what helped me was the 12 steps. But I was really fortunate that the fellowship in Manchester is incredibly strong. At that time, I was just going to AA, and you know, the women that I surrounded myself with, you know, I feel quite blessed. They really took me under their wing, and the suggestions that they made, and these are suggestions that I make to women now. First and foremost, write. You know, write every day as much as you can. You know, it cements. I write in the morning and I write in the evening, and it cements my day. You know, it helps me to connect with what's going on in my mind. You know, I am able to get a little bit more manageable because I plan out my day. And there is so much power, I believe, in the process of putting pen to paper that I can't quite quantify it, but I know it works. So I'd say writing has been one of the biggest tools in my recovery. And then as I've evolved, you know, as well as doing the steps, I think, you know, I'm a big believer in the steps, but I do think that they are, you know, a great means to recover, but they're also, they don't necessarily enable you to emotionally gain some sobriety, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I had to do a lot of reading. I had to look at, you know, some really underlying behaviours. I needed to look at my relationship history and, you know, a process that didn't serve me well. And, you know, so reading was massive in helping me to do that. And talking, you know, talking to women in recovery, you know, it was suggested to me very early on that I pick three women and I form a really close relationship with those women and I run everything by them very early on. You know, any decisions that I need to make. And, you know, initially it felt quite dogmatic and I thought, you know, I'm 32 years old. Why do I need to run a decision by someone? But I very quickly realised that, you know, my thinking got me to AA, so obviously I wasn't very good at thinking and mm-hmm. making decisions. So talking has been invaluable, and, you know, it's something that I've carried through all of those things to today. But the other things that have come in have been, you know, have evolved. So, you know, I learned that exercise is a really powerful tool. I think Laura McCowan says, when I interviewed her, she said, I need to sweat every day. And I thought, yes, that is exactly what I need to do. You know, so I try and exercise every day. But, you know, I'm not perfect. Like, my head still doesn't want to do it. My default position is to lie on the sofa. But I think I'll be put off that now with the mouse. I think those are the key things, really. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was connecting with other people, like going, was going out of your comfort zone, right?
Yeah. So socially at the end of my addiction, I had completely isolated myself. So I, you know, my mum would try and come and see me, but I really didn't, I wasn't interested. You know, I was just, isolated in my flat and eating on my own. So all of a sudden I was around all of these people, and, you know, I kind of felt swept up by them and carried really into social situations. So, you know, one of the other suggestions was to make sure that I go for a coffee before the meeting and after the meeting. And I was like, oh my word, this is exhausting. But it was invaluable. And today, you know, I go to 2 meetings a week and I go for food afterwards. Without fail, you know, because we can laugh. We laugh and we share in each other's stories, and you know, it's connection with other people is really powerful.
That definitely, I totally agree with this. That connection and community is really the cornerstone for me as well, for many people. And you mentioned about connecting with your body again. So does that, where yoga came, where you're, you said that yoga has really helped you.
Yeah.
Is that with, you know, connecting with the physical body?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because I think, you know, the sweating kind of cardiovascular fitness will only take you so far. Although I have recently discovered running, and running is very powerful. And I think that it gives me like a meditative type feeling, the same way that yoga does, but yoga does something, you know, more profound than that. Not only is it meditative, but you feel, I feel like, and they say this is your chakras aligning, but I don't know, it just gives me something that I can't quite quantify. I feel whole, if that makes sense, when I practice yoga. And I practice 2 very specific types of yoga. I go to a yin class on a Saturday, but I spend every week on a Saturday morning convincing myself not to go. And I go to, and it's a sort of yin / restorative. Well, the teacher's really unmanageable, and, you know, she runs over, and I spend the first half an hour of the class composing an email to her about her tardiness. I'm still crazy today. And I also practice Kundalini, and I'd read that Tommy Rosen and his wife had said that Kundalini is really good for people in recovery. So I thought, oh, I'll give that a go. And wow, I've only been doing it for about 2 months, and I can't tell you how amazing it is.
Oh wow, okay. That's great. That's really interesting. I've never tried Kundalini yoga. You know, it's interesting. Funny enough, I was just listening to watching a video of Tommy's, and this is Tommy Rosen of Recovery 2.0 for anyone who's listening. So he was talking about how he was having a conversation with someone about the labels that we put on ourselves of we're in recovery, but he's like, what if we say we're in discovery? And I'm like, I love that. Like, instead of being, you know, like, I'm in recovery, we're in recovery, we're all in discovery, because we're discovering new parts of ourselves and our lives and recreating everything. That's so great.
That is great. I like that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, in that nature of discovering ourselves, what perspectives and views have shifted since beginning your journey? Like, is there anything that you've learned about yourself, or you've figured out, you're like, actually, I'm this way, I'm not that way, or do you have any insights there?
Oh, many. I'm not sure how PC a comment this is, but I might
I'll go for it.
Okay, I call them my Tina Turner moments, and you know, when you're in recovery and something happens and you go, like, the penny drops and you think, oh right, I get it. Well, for me, that was like when I realized that Tina Turner didn't just have a tan. So these are my Tina Turner moments, and I've learned, I think, first and foremost, that I'm okay. I felt that I never really had that message as a child that I'm okay, you know, I'm enough. And I have constantly been seeking to fix myself for so long, because of desperately low self-esteem and feelings of worthlessness. And, you know, I've learned to connect the dots and to say to myself, you know, that actually, Liv, you know, you're a great woman. You are enough. Your worth is not attached to your weight. That's been massive for me. Other things that I've realised, that you know, people describe me as quite sociable and an extrovert and really warm. And I don't see myself in that way. I think for me, what I've realised is actually I'm a bit of an introvert. You know, I need time on my own. I need time out. And that's in some ways is what I was seeking in drugs. You know, I find too much stimulation too much. I'm incredibly sensitive. So I need time to process, and I need to do things that that give me that space.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, what else? I learned that I'm really creative. I didn't know that I could write. You know, I filled about 20 journals of ramblings over the past 4 years, but starting my blog and receiving the feedback that I had, I was really taken aback by that, by people saying, "Liv, you know, you can write really well."
Oh, yeah, And that's just like fuel for your fire.
Yeah, totally. I love that. And, you know, I've always known that I could cook, but I hadn't quite realised how good at cooking I was. So, yeah, that's been quite eye-opening, really.
Well, I'd like to talk more about food and
the
cooking and all the rest the awesome recipes on your website, but we're going to take a quick break. So you're listening to Coming Clean Radio, Art of Transparency. So when we come back, Liv Pennelly will talk further on food and addictions. Stay with us.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you want for yourself. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss is a hit show for women in recovery who are ready to live life on purpose. Tune in and let Catherine help you live your truth one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Almost everyone at some time in their lives ask themselves, what am I? Most of our questions are ego-generated and simply don't address the problem of our false self. It's time to relax your ego and embody your soul. Dr. Dan Cohen, neurologist, inventor, and author, has created tools to awaken, a new way to transform from who you thought you were into what you truly are. Visit toolstoawaken.com today.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
We're back on Coming Clean with myself, Catherine Aratimas. I have Liv Pennelly here talking about food addiction and recovery. So I think it was something on your blog that I read about when you, and it really struck a chord with me because I can totally relate to this, how you said when you were mentally nourished. I think it was one of your things that you, one of the things that worked for you in recovery of engaging your brain.
Yeah.
And when you were mentally nourished, you didn't feel that you needed to like indulge in food. And I totally feel that way because food is always my go-to. But when I feel like, you know, when you have that creatively, when you're like nourished creatively and like spiritually and yeah, and intellectually, you don't really turn to that. You're emotionally satisfied and you're totally satisfied. That's such a good feeling. And I totally understand what you meant when you said that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Sorry,
were you going to ask a question of that or should I?
I wanted to talk about, you know, emotional eating. So it's like, like many women, like myself included, you've had a past of disordered eating and emotional eating. So yeah, like we said, food is really hard because you can't just like give up on it. You can't like, I'm not eating anymore. You can't do that. And you've written a lot about it and told your story of weight loss, which has, been really, really inspiring for a lot of people. So how were you able to overcome emotional and disordered eating and develop a healthy relationship with food?
That's a good question. Sometimes I think I haven't. I had to reveal what the issues were, you know, in the same way as my addiction to drugs, you know. I had to really get to the bottom of what it is that was the issue. And I found that, it was December 2014, I saw this advert work for a nutrition coach. And, you know, it was at a time where I was, you know, I'd go through these phases of being so frustrated and the self-loathing was huge. And I was thinking to myself, should I go back to Weight Watchers? Should I go back to Slimming World? And, you know, and they'd never really worked me, or they had for about a month or two. I felt so disconnected from my body that because it wouldn't work the way that it worked in my 20s. In my 20s, it was so easy to just drop weight. And that's probably because I was taking a lot of drugs. So I saw this advert and I thought, part of me, you know, and that same part of you that wants sobriety or recovery that says, go on, you're worth it, you know, give her a call, you know, or go to a meeting, whatever. So I did, and we spoke and we really connected, and I decided to work with her for a whole year. So that was the beginning of my journey, and she met with me and she discussed, her name's Catherine Mountford, and she interviewed me about my relationship with food, about my energy levels, about basically everything mentally and physiologically she looked at. And I'd never really considered those kind of things before, you know, like the impact of my hormones on my appetite, or, you know, I knew that certain foods would make you react in a certain way, but I hadn't expected just how much that would be the case. So we worked together, and during that year, you know, there were the peaks and troughs, but overall she discovered that what I actually was dealing with is a level of feeling that I wasn't fulfilling myself You know, I wasn't nourishing my mind, my body, my spirit. You know, I was in a spiritual sense with regard to my recovery, but I felt hugely disconnected between what I was achieving in my recovery, in which I was, you know, I was leaping forward, but I couldn't believe how much I wasn't in relation to the food. And for me, it felt incongruent. And she had said, look, you know, your journey, I believe, if you get out there and you connect with nature and you nourish your mind and you, you know, go on that course, read that book, do this, do that. And something just clicked within me, and it happened. So towards the end of last year, it became more of a personal coaching and less about food. And that's what she had felt all along, was that, you know, if I feel, like you say, if I feel fulfilled, then I'm less likely to use food in a destructive way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's never about the food.
No.
So is so when I imagine that when you worked with her, she was able to see that other things needed addressing.
Yeah.
Not just what you're eating. Yeah. This, and that also ties into what you said before, the fluid and holistic approach to addressing issues like that. You know, like we're so used to kind of compartmentalizing. I can't say that word right now.
Yeah.
Compartmentalizing. And, yeah, and not dealing and then addressing things as a whole, as they are. Yeah.
And the longer that you progress in recovery, the more that you realize that you can't compartmentalize and that you have to be connected in all areas of your life and body and mind. You can't push things down anymore. They keep coming up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can push them down all you want, but they're just going to come back up or, you know, stay there. You can't get away. And that's
sometimes game. It's that game when you hit those things.
Yeah, you're hitting them at like carnivals.
Yeah, what's that game called? I can't remember what it's called. But that's how it feels. And you think, oh, my God, I thought I'd mastered that. No.
It's true. It's totally like that.
Yeah.
But when it comes... So in developing a healthy relationship with food, and with also when it comes to nutrition and like what's optimal for us, it seems like everybody has an opinion and everyone thinks that everyone else is wrong, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what is your personal food philosophy, or, you know, what does good nutrition look like for you personally?
Good nutrition for me is first and foremost being mindful of what I'm eating and why I'm eating, you know. Am I hungry? Is this food going to nourish me? Am I eating to escape myself or to deal with an uncomfortable feeling? I mean, those are really key questions that I need to ask myself. But predominantly, it's a diet that is full of... I mean, what I'm learning more than anything is protein is so important. You know, it gives you the feelings of satiety. You know, when we come into recovery, you know, our bodies are really damaged. You know, my liver was really damaged, and I was exhausted practically for the first 2 years. And, you know, you need to nourish your body in a way that is, you know, helps it to repair. And that's exactly what protein is for. And with complex carbohydrates that give you sustained energy. I think what really annoys me is the message that is given out here in AA is that, you know, early on, oh, what you need to do when you, you know, you need to drink lots of coffee and you need to eat lots of sweets because you need the sugar. And I think that is so completely the wrong message. I mean, that just makes your blood sugar go all over the place. And I felt in many ways like I did when I was taking drugs, when I would eat and drink in that way. So some of the things that I've had to do over the last year is I gave up coffee. I only drink green tea, which still has a little bit of caffeine in, but on the whole, I'm a lot more, my blood sugar is a lot more stable. I try not to eat too much wheat. I sometimes fail at that. I, like I say, try and eat a diet high in protein and with lots of fruit and vegetables. There's a great organic market around the corner from us, and I get a lot of food from there. And what my coach explained to me last year was that if you imagine a checklist that your body has, you know, and as you go throughout the day, your body ticks off the nutrients that you're eating. So that's why when let's say you go to McDonald's for a burger and chips, it's why you're hungry like 20 minutes later, because actually you've not ticked any of the boxes. Your body is saying to you, I need more nutrition. So it's not that you've got this unruly appetite or anything. It's actually quite a scientific process that your body is saying, I need you to fill me up with healthy, nutritious foods. I think it's two pronged, really. It's the mindfulness, and it's eating well and drinking lots of water. Water is key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we've been so dehydrated for so long.
Yeah, right. I don't actually feel thirst, strangely. I remember when apart from when I was drinking so heavily, I would wake up in the middle of the night having dreamt about drinking fruit juice, and I was that dehydrated that it woke me up. But nowadays I have to be conscious of always having water near me.
No, that's a really, really healthy habit. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you talked about that as well on the blog, how, we have to really make sure that you never get too tired. It's all about self-care.
Yeah, absolutely. Really? I get really tired. I do a lot. You know, I work full time. I'm doing my blog practically full time. I have recovery commitments. I have fellowship commitments, and I'm dating. So there's a lot of stuff. When I'm tired, I just want to eat carbs. And I'm to the stage where I can recognize that now and think, okay, what I really need to do is to go to bed, drink a glass of water and go to bed.
Yeah. So you've become really, really mindful of what you need at any given moment. That's great.
Yeah. More so. I think that intuition, that inner voice that I have, that consciousness, the voice has gotten louder, you know. So I still have moments of overeating and binging, you know, once a month, particularly around my period is really bad. And, you know, I find that as I'm cycling, the irony is immense, that I'm cycling to the shop to buy a loaf of bread and some butter or something like that. And the voice is so loud now, you know, it's saying, why are you doing this? You have a choice. Yeah. So now, you know, I'm able to actually tune into that and think. So I find myself at this like once a month in the aisle thinking, what am I doing? You know, picking the cake up, putting it down. They must think I'm crazy in Tesco. but the trend is that it's not happening so much anymore.
But you cook, on livesrecoverykitchen.com, you said you have three different areas. You blog, you have the interview, and then you also have tons of recipes that you cook a lot. Have you always loved cooking, and how did that start?
Yeah, I've always loved it. I remember from a very young age, I had a fascination with it. I would watch my mum cook, and you know, I guess that was the time that I was able to spend with my mum. You know, she was a single parent. She had twins, you know, to look after. And, that was the time where I would watch and see what happened. And I was just really fascinated by it. And especially when I learned how it could change the way that I felt. So I've always kind of experimented with it. And to help our mum, you know, we would cook a lot. And, then when I started visiting my father again in the States, you know, I've got this Italian-American family. So food is a big part of our family. And I believe that passion is kind of ingrained within my blood. I don't know. So when people come to my house, I say, you know, in a typical Italian way, have you eaten? I've always just loved it. I read recipes. I read, I just soak it up. I'm literally like a sponge around that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was looking at your website too, and that you had a recipe on sweet potato brownies. Those look so good, and I'm like, I'm definitely making those.
I'll have to try them. But you need a food processor that will actually, you know, is actually quite powerful.
Get it really creamy.
Yeah. I have this really cheap one, and when I put dates into it, I thought it was going to explode. Eventually, I got there, you know, as you can see. I believe, you know, you use what you can. And I think what's annoyed me with a lot of, you know, recipes and, you know, chefs out there is they, you know, whilst their recipes are amazing and the food tastes incredible, you know, it needs to be accessible. You know, people need to be able to try and do it in a time frame that meets their requirements. You know, I don't want to be cooking for an hour every night after work. No way. Mm-hmm. Especially if I've been to the gym as well.
Yeah.
So I think for me, yeah, recipes have got to be accessible. And what I try and do, I don't always do it, but what I try and do is to write about the nutritional information in the ingredients and the food. You know, someone was asking me what I want, someone that's helping me with the brand, they said, what is it you want when people look at your recipes? And I said, I want people to look at that food and to think, oh my God, that looks amazing and it's healthy. Are you kidding? You know, how do I make that? Because for me, good nutrition doesn't have to be boring.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. The common belief that it's not going to taste good and it's going to be boring and take time. Well, yeah, it'll take a little time.
Yeah. Well, a little. But I think it's just about recovery takes time. Everything takes time.
But it's also, like taking the time and being connected with what you're doing. And like, if you're just ordering food out, that's kind of, you're not connected with your food. And then that goes back to your mindfulness as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
All ties in together.
Yeah.
So I wanted to also ask you in regard to we were talking before about being so forthcoming and open. Was it hard for you or like what made you start the blog initially? And was it hard for you to be so transparent in documenting your journey?
Well, no. You know, people have said to me, you know, you're so brave and you put it out there. And I think, I don't really feel that way. I feel like it's, I mean, the overall purpose of me doing it is to think, it comes from a feeling of, I wish I had been able to read something like this during my recovery. I wish someone had talked so openly about their relationship with food and how I can change things. I'm a real how person. You know, you can theorize all you like, but I need to know how to apply it. And I just felt that initially it was to keep myself accountable as well. You know, if I'm writing about it, you know, people are going to expect to see results. And you know, and then it just evolved. People gave me some really good feedback, and then I realized that I really enjoyed it. And you know, I get a really great sense of fulfillment about it. I've always been quite unhappy in my jobs. I hate administration. I hate feeling trapped in an office. And mm-hmm. I feel so free when I am creatively expressive. So I am motivated by a desire to turn this into a career. So I think that just spurs me on, and it doesn't feel like work in any way. I have this desire and it just is growing. And the more that I do it, the more that the universe is responding, which is amazing.
That means you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, right.
That's what you're doing. Like, you know, why you're here. That's so great.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you know, last year it was more about, the weight loss journey and the recipes. And then, you know, the more that I blogged about my recovery, the more positive responses I had. And I realized, you know, that I could make this bigger, you know, I could make the impact bigger. And And then I guess it was really propelled earlier this year by, I joined Twitter and, you know, my coach had encouraged me to do it last year. And I was like, oh no, I don't want to lose any more of my life on social media. And I realized the huge recovery community in the States online, and everything just evolved from that. You know, and I had thought, well, why don't I start interviewing people and see what their relationship is with food? And let's talk to some nutritionists. Let's talk to a personal trainer. Let's, you know, let's see what other people are doing. And it was coming from a place of, as with all of my interviews, I want to know, you know, these things. This is why, you know, when people say, oh my God, where do your questions come from? And I say, just want to know.
That's exactly. I mean, that's where they best come from, because that's pure curiosity, what you really want to know.
Yeah, exactly. So some people in the States are like, you know, I know Laura said this, you know, you feel like a newbie, but you're not, you know, because my site is a little bit older than hers. But I guess in many respects, I've only really been on that scene in the States since the beginning of the year. But yeah, and I thought to myself, you know, how do I get to write for, you know, like Kelly Fitzgerald, the Sober Senorita, like writes for everyone, and Sasha, and you know, all these really great people. And I was thinking, oh, I'd love to do that, you know, but I'm sure that what I need to do is build up my readership, and I put all these limitations on it. Mm-hmm. And then...
No, I'm sure you're well on your way.
Well, but this because is...
You're so... honest and open with, you know, people resonate with that.
Yeah, they really do. And then all of a sudden, a couple of weeks ago, I got this email, this marketing director of a rehab in the States said, I've read your blog. I absolutely love your voice and your writing style. We want you to write once a month for us. This is amazing. Yeah. I had it the wrong way around. I was thinking I need to approach everyone, when actually maybe I just carry
on. They'll come to you.
Yeah.
Allow the universe to lead you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being a guest today. I really, really appreciate it, and sharing all of your knowledge and your truth today. And thanks for being you.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, and maybe what do you say about coming on again sometime? I think it would be fun to continue our conversation.
I'd love to.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, thank you.
So please visit livsrecoverykitchen.com to learn more about Liv's inspiring story and find all of her delicious recipes, and listening in, and you can also listen into her interviews. Interviews with quite many interesting people in the recovery community. So, and then you can also visit my website. It's katherinemoss.com. And I want to thank you all for tuning in to Coming Clean Radio. So please join me every Tuesday at 12 Eastern, 11 Central, and 9 a.m. Pacific time. So that's all for today. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Coming Clean, the Art of Transparency with Katherine Moss. Join Katherine and countless other women in recovery stepping into their truth and supporting one another, living life on purpose. Tune in each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific, on transformationtalkradio.com, or visit the archives at withintheflow.com.